Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 577. It's the 5th of September 2016. On the podcast today, I have Managing Director of Finhouse Mining. That's Roderick Hillary. And the ticker, by the way, it's FAM. And he discusses today's proposed acquisition of Avana Exploration and general progress at its Pidivik titanium project in Greenland. Plus, I also have CEO Tony Stiff and CFO Nigel Canham of Flow Group, FLOW, who go through some of the highlights from their half-year results released today. Plus, of course, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. A huge mark of a measure of sentiment, this. And if you look at these top five companies today, they're all doing very well, share price-wise. So if a company gets in this group, it's worth looking at. Plus, I've also got the most liked and disliked. Ooh, RNSs released on the Vox Markets website. These are people who give a thumbs up or thumbs down to RNSs, and I've got the most liked and most disliked. Plus, I also have one for your watch list suggested by Dr. Remulak. Thank you, Doctor, for getting involved here. And Dr. Remulak suggests SDX Energy is something you should add to your watch list. And I'll give out the reasons why he suggests that in a few minutes' time.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Roderick McIlree, Managing Director of Finhouse Mining. That's FAM ticker. Thanks for coming back on, Rod.
Hey, good morning, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. We've had a couple of announcements come out of late. But before we get into those, Rod, could you explain? And I'm quite annoyed because when I first chatted to you, I liked the sound of your project and I didn't really understand Greenland, how it worked, the asset there. I even did lots of research on ilmenite. Before I knew it, the share price had rallied like crazy. I thought, oh no. So I sort of missed the boat here now. But we've seen some consolidation, which I quite like, on a charting pattern. But before we get into that, just explain what Finhouse is all about, please, Rob.
Sure, Justin. Well, Finost is a new strategy being implemented with one of the major shareholders, Western Areas, over the last 18 months. Our core focus is the Nordic region, specifically in Greenland. We're looking at base metals, industrial metals such as titanium, copper, lead, zinc, and nickel, platinum. So we've got a pretty diverse portfolio, but we're predominantly focused in Greenland. Greenland's a good spot. I mean, anyone that wants to do a little bit of homework on Greenland will recognise it's probably one of the best minerals destinations in terms of emerging frontiers that is available.
Yeah, well, one of the things that attracted me to you when I get doing research was the fact that, people kept mentioning, especially brokers, saying this could be a world-class asset here. And that's the case, isn't it?
Well, with respect to, the titanium project, yes, look, we do believe that internally. I think one of the advantages that Greenland has to offer when sort of compared to other jurisdictions is the amount of historical academic work that's been done on all of the metallogenic occurrences in Greenland. You sort of got to understand, I guess, the relationship between Denmark and Greenland over the last 40 or 50 years, but The Danish Geological Survey has been very active studying a number of what we believe to be very significant projects in Greenland. And fortunately for us, we're able to capitalise on all of that state-sponsored work. I mean, obviously, Danish academic work programmes are very high-quality technical reviews. So we can lever off these investigations for the benefit of our shareholders, and I think today's announcement is another demonstration of picking up what will ultimately be recognised as very significant projects in due course. So things are going well.
Yeah, so we've got the Pacific Titanium project there, and today, like you said, you've announced the acquisition of Avana Exploration. Can you explain a bit about that on why?
Sure. Well, just to remove any confusion from shareholders and interested parties, the company will continue to focus on the Pidivik project. We see a short to medium term cash flow potential coming out of that. Our internal numbers are making this suggesting that this project is actually going to be pretty viable. So all eyes are on that. But taking advantage of, I guess, what is a cyclical moment in the world of commodities and also the fact that the vendor of this project, Cairn Energy, is a an oil company. We have today, obviously you can read the RNS, taken advantage of both of those things to secure what we believe are very interesting long-term projects. Now, you know, there's an enormous amount of data to assimilate there, and there's a little bit of work that needs to be done to bring those projects up to this moment, because obviously they've been sat on for probably 12 or 18 months where nothing has actually been done. But the key aspect, I guess, of both of these projects is that very extensive historical work programs have been done by major mining companies that have all continued to refine the model and put now what is essentially drill-ready targets on our desk. So, you know, there's numbers in there, 50 million prior to Capricorn or Cairn's involvement. We've been able to secure this for, you know, £500,000 worth of stock. So I think it's a pretty good transaction for Finos shareholders.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, going forward now, I mean, I did read somewhere that bulk sampling is starting at Pitifik in 2017. Is that still the case?
Yeah, no, we're still working towards that. We don't see any problem there. We've actually started that whole bulk sampling program this year as part of our 2016 work program. Now, we hope to probably in the next couple of weeks have another update on that work program that's been completed up in Pitifik. But certainly we've already started that bulk sampling process this year. That material has been sent down to Perth for continued process metallurgical review. The results of that are as expected. You know, it'll come as no surprise to the people who've been following the story for some time that this material is it's a premium non-oxidized ilmenite, and we hope to have not just on the work program but metallurgical results over the next, you know, two to four weeks also.
Yeah, I came across a word I've never read before in your last RNS, and that was metocean. And you know, I'm not an old hand or experience in this area, but can you explain what that means? So you did a metocean study commissioned to support the dredge mining studies. What does that mean, Nirod?
Yeah, well, look, what we're trying to do there is obviously because of the location and the campaign-based nature of the development of this project, obviously we're going to try and get in there for that 4 to 5 to 6 month slot at the height of spring and summer and early autumn. We are looking at a boat-based operation at the moment, and because of the nature of the environment up there, we just need to understand the wave action, the tidal action, you know, the predominant prevailing direction of current. So met ocean actually just stands for meteorological and oceanic conditions report, and the group that has been engaged by us and being managed by Royal IHC is just going to provide the historical context of the conditions that can be expected at Pitifik for the last sort of 20, 30 years.
Yeah, so. Okay. And so just back to this acquisition here, and you said there are two projects there, you know, which you're very interested in. I like the sound of one is going by the name of Disco. I think a project called Disco can't fail, can it?
Yeah, look, this is something that has actually been very well known in the technical and the academic world of Greenland for quite some time. I think the work that Ivana and the guys there have done in the last sort of 5 to 7 years has really consolidated the understanding. What we have is extremely large, and this is the bit that I think really should be the focus of people's attention moving forward, is that these anomalies that have been identified by multiple geological and geophysical processes are in some instances up to 6 kilometres long, 1 and a bit kilometres wide, and up to 600 metres thick. And the geological model that really has been developed is a similar situation to what's called the Norilsk model, which is a sort of a flood basalt. It's a magmatic massive sulfide. So what you have is you get sulfides precipitating and form very large sort of bodies of massive metal accumulations on the shoulders of these basalt vents. And that is what appears to have been identified by not just Cairn, but Falconbridge and Vismont, all these historical guys that have worked on the project. So again, what we have is a low-cost acquisition that gives us really a very asymmetric trade on exploration that, you know, we intend to start drilling these things in the next sort of 18 to 24 months. But obviously the transaction's subject to Greenlandic approval. We don't see that as being a problem because of our historical activities up there. And we just feel that certainly Disco and the Kangalusuk projects are high-value targets. The Carrot Rare Earth will probably just dispose of that in pretty short order, but certainly the two that are predominant in the RNS, these are things that investors and potential interested parties should really look into, because these, you don't find these types of projects very often.
Yeah, and do you have a sort of set time frame as to when you expect the Greenland government to pass this?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably not going to take... it's always difficult to identify how long a government takes to do anything, yeah. Obviously, Justin, but we expect somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks for this. You know, we've been through this process before with the acquisition of the Pitifik project. You know, we've also got the first offshore licence to be issued in Greenland for minerals a couple of months ago. So we're very confident that it will happen. We don't see that. It's just a function of time.
Marvellous stuff. All right, Rob, well, listen, you know, if you need to convince people any further, could you give us three reasons why anyone should add Penthouse Mining to their Vox Markets watch list, please?
Well, look, I think what we have now is we've got a pretty compelling portfolio. We've got Finland, Pitifik, Disco and Kangalusuk. I think that people could expect some type of corporate event on maybe one of those projects as a divestment. But, you know, that's a little bit into the future. I think that as the information starts to flow from Disco and Kangalusuk, people will really want to, you know, be first in line for that information, because these projects, as I said, are very compelling. And again, just coming back to the core of the company, which is the Pitifik project, this titanium deposit is being progressed to production, and we don't see any interruption to that process over the next 12, 18 months. So everything's going well. It's all going according to plan.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, shareholders are pleased, because the share price reacted positively today, up nearly 5%. So that's good news. Rod, lovely to speak to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wake.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Stiff, CEO, and Nigel Canham, CFO of Flow Group, ticker FLOW. Now, Guy, you've had, first of all, good morning and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking the time. Morning, Justin.
That's all right. Listen, you've had some, what looks like to me, very good figures for the half-year report. We'll go through that in a bit. But for people not aware of Flow Group, can you give us a summary, guys, of what their business is all about?
Yeah, well, Flow Group is an energy services business. It comprises a growing energy supply business called Flow Energy, where we supply electricity and gas to customers in the residential market, and that's grown very well for us this year. We're also a smart heating business, which comprises our micro CHP product, which is a gas boiler that generates electricity. And today we've introduced a new range of conventional heating products with a partnership with Intergas.
Excellent stuff. So the half-year report, like I said, looks quite good to me. Now, can you take us through some of the highlights, please, there, guys?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're really pleased with how our business has been performing. In the first half, our revenues have doubled to almost 42 million. We're on track for 100% CAGR this year, growing from 2013. So we're pleased with the growth that we've got, and that's predominantly in our energy business. So the revenues in our other divisions will start to ramp up. We have some revenue for the first time in our MCHP business this year in the first half, and that will grow as we go into the second half. We're also pleased with how our margins performed as well. You know, as I said, on the revenue side, that's all come from predominantly from our energy business, and you know, our margin's been maintained at just over 12%, and that's doubling in absolute terms, just over 5 million of gross margin. So we're pleased with that. I mean, as you'd expect, we're still a developing business in total. The energy business for the first half was almost at break even, and we expect that to be into profit in 2017, which is probably a little bit ahead of our expectations. So we're really pleased with how that's performed, and with how we've been managing our costs and making sure that we're prudent with how we spend our money. And on the product side, as Tony said, you know, we're still in that kind of early stage of getting the products to market. So we do have some losses in those businesses for now as well. But we'll be into profit in those businesses in 2018.
Well, I tell you what's quite good is, I mean, if you look at the energy business, especially the customer numbers, you know, 120% increase to 220,000. That's always a good sign, isn't it, when you're building customers?
Oh, I think it is. We're now the only Which recommended energy supplier. You know, we've grown really by about an average of 20,000 customer accounts per month, which is outstanding growth whilst maintaining, I think, really good customer service. Customers are staying with us. Our churn, that's the level customers go away, is a lot lower than our business expectations. So I think that demonstrates that we're doing a really good job in that market. You know, we've grown to 255,000 customer accounts now. As Nigel said, we expect to move into profitability into 2017. That business is cash break even, and we'll be generating cash towards the end of the year. So it's a really good business, and we're building that customer base so we can cross sell other products into it. Always our strategy was to have a combined energy business with a products business where we provide state-of-the-art technology for customers to reduce their energy consumption and reduce carbon in the home.
Yeah, so it's all looking good, but I know we spoke back in May, and then one of the focal points of that discussion was the Department of Energy and Climate Change, and they've done a review of their feed-in tariff. What's the thoughts on that now, and when are we expecting news on this?
Well, that came out of the blue, as you know, and stunned the market. Originally, the feed-in tariff was guaranteed to a level of 30,000 micro CHPs in the UK market, which Flow Group expected to get a large proportion of that. We need feed-in tariff as you launch a new product. That's what it's there for. It's there to assist with higher costs as you roll more units off the production line. As you buy more on the supply chain, your costs start to reduce. Therefore, the product will become efficient without feed-in tariff above the 30,000 unit level. But because they've introduced this cap now, during the consultation process, it puts a risk over the UK market for us for a micro CHP. The thoughts at the moment is that DEC, and we've made a really strong proposal against this, along with, you know, players like British Gas, Panasonic, other players that are in the micro CHP market, to say that, you know, this is ridiculous, really. It's a new stage technology. The UK should really be supporting this technology. The consultation closed on the 14th of July. We're awaiting the results of the consultation. We think it's going to come out towards the end of this year, but there's no defined date yet for that. So in the meantime, we will take a cautious approach to installing micro CHP in the UK. As we reported today, we're making units. We're rolling those off the production line, but we're going to do that cautiously.
So does anyone know what the decision, what was this based on, the government's? Because you say, Britain is, it's renowned for almost its cutting edge or innovative sort of engineering and tech side of things. And so you'd think they'd want to, embrace that. I mean, is there any thoughts of the reasons behind why they've done this?
No, I think it's just a cost-cutting exercise, to be honest. I think they've looked at budgets across, renewable energy, low-carbon technologies, and gone through an exercise of looking at trimming costs in that area. One good thing for us is the European market, and we did announce that we'd now tested our units in Italy successfully, and we've tested our units with the European partner that we can't disclose at this moment in time. That's gone well, that's gone successfully. So both of those are moving on to the next phase, and there's more subsidy in Italy and Germany than the UK. So those markets are looking very favourable for us.
Yeah, and so at the moment, as we are trading here, are you happy with how trading is going so far?
Oh, very, very happy. I'm going to say, we're delighted with the performance of the energy business. On a standalone basis, analysts are coming out, seeing some analysts' notes this morning that, value the energy business at twice the market cap of Flow Group. So I think we've done some really good things there. We keep our costs under control. We've got great customer service. We're going to grow that business to around 1 million customers by 2019. That's our target. We'll be profitable in 2017, so that will be a profitable division for Flow Group that I think will give returns for shareholders.
Yeah, and I think the point around the feed-in tariff as well. As you introduce any new technology into a market, there's always challenges anyway. But we've had quite a few hurdles to get over. We had the VAT threat last year, which caused us some concerns, and we had to look at the additional cost that might get layered onto the end user price of our MCHP boiler. We've got the feed-in tariff issue this year, and of course post-Brexit we've got some currency headwinds as well, which are adding between 10-15% to the cost of the boiler. Mm-hmm. So we think that what we've done is we've built resilience into the rest of the business around which supports those threats, because the feed-in tariff, that's potentially £50 million of support from the government, which won't be available to us if they make the decision they're proposing. But with the energy business and with our other boiler products and other smart heating products, those are there to de-risk the rest of the business and broaden the portfolio. And I think that's what an investor would be interested in to see, is how we do that and how we ensure that we've got resilience in the entire business plan.
Excellent stuff. Okay guys, well listen, if anyone needs any more convincing beyond seeing these figures today, could you give us sort of three reasons why an investor should add Flow Group to their Vox Markets watch list, please?
Yeah, I think first reason is we're moving towards profitability in the energy business. So we've been in the energy business since 2013. So we've had fantastic proven growth. Every year our expectations, and we expect that to continue. So that's a good reason why they should invest. We announced today the launch of the Flow branded into gas boiler. Now that's a product that we believe is the best boiler in the world. It only has 12 parts. It's never had a heat exchange failure in the whole production life. It's the market leader in Holland, where they have 35% market share. Flow products only needs to get a 1% market share for us to become profitable. So we think that's a great product for us to launch into the market. And the group is in a good cash strong position.
Miles, sorry, go on. You broke up this. Sorry, go on.
There were doubts creeping in last year about the position of the group. I think, we're in a good strong position. Analysts are forecasting that we are cash flow strong as a business, and we don't need to go on another fundraise.
Thank you very much, guys, and I look forward to speaking to you in the not too distant future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Okay, at five, Prospect Oil and Gas. And up strongly today. I hold that stock, actually. What's it at? It's at 11.5% up. At four, CloudTag. It keeps on getting on. It keeps on going up. Just when you think it can't go up any further, it goes up again. That's CTAG at number four. At three, it's a new entry. Pantheon Resources had a release out today. PANR. At two, another big riser and a new entry. It's Behrd Group, BHRD. Had them on the podcast a while back. I think they were tipped in the mail on Sunday or on the weekend. And at one, I had the CEO on the podcast on Friday. And it's up again strongly today. Double digit rises today. It's Proxarma, PROX. Worth doing a bit of research on that company. They had Google certification last week. All right, here's the most liked RNS and the most disliked RNSs on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. The most liked is today's Berkeley Energia. That's BKY. I do hold the stock. And they've got high-grade intercepts point to Zona 7 resource upgrade. So that's good news there. And the most disliked RNS was Glenwick. GWIK, who's been suspended today. No reason, no surprise why they've been disliked there. And, you know, I feel for shareholders in that company. Cash shells are always, you know, quite risky. And so you should measure a risk like that because you never know if they're going to work out. If they do work out, they can go through the roof. If they don't, this is what happens. So it's most disliked RNS. And by the way, listen, if you do see an RNS you like or dislike, please do hit the thumbs up and thumbs down. And if it gets to the top there of that chart, like or dislike, I'll mention it on the podcast. All right. Today's suggested one for your watchlist has been submitted by Dr. Remulac. And the company is SDX Energy, ticker SDX. What does the company do? It's oil production and exploration in Egypt with scope to acquire other assets in the Middle East and North Africa. They have 79 million shares, or 80 million shares, I'd say, in the issue, because 79.8. Current price is 24 pence, market cap 19.16 million. What revenue, profit, or loss the company generate? Q2, 2.5 million revenue, dollars this is, 24.7 million loss, and in brackets, it's a write-down of the Cameroonian legacy asset. So, of course, you wouldn't expect to see that in the next quarter. But do your own research, SDX. How much cash or debt does the company have? They have $6.9 million in cash, zero, whoosh, nil debt. List three reasons why people think you should add this to your watch list. Reason one, high margins. Profitable at as low as $15 a barrel. That's Brent. Number two, increasing production. Transformational workover program to ramp up production this year. And the third reason is high impact exploration in South Dissouk, fully carried by JV partner. So that's SDX Energy. Thank you for the research there, Dr. Ramulac. By all means, do your own research. I insist, do your own research, all right? Nothing on this podcast is an incentive or lead to buy. You have to do your own research. These are all just investment ideas. Some ideas are fantastic, some are not so fantastic. So please do your own research. But that is SDX Energy, and I've looked into those companies. I was a whisker away from buying a while back. I may have another look. You know, because they seem like they're going places there. But don't let my opinion, which is just one opinion, sway you in any way. SDX, check it out. Thank you very much for listening. And like I said, if you can get involved, please do. If you know of a stock that should be on someone's watch list, please suggest it. Just go to the blog there at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And if you see an RNS in the morning you'd like or dislike, then please hit the thumbs up or thumbs down. And if it gets to the top of that chart, whichever one, I will report on it in the next podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.